Appreciate what's gone before us. Paul said in Romans 13, verse 11, he says that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. It's high time. Elder Sonny Powell used to say, you know what high time is, don't you? It's just before it's too late. Just before it's too late. Too late for what? Well, I think you just heard that. If we leave things off, we start leading more off. And more off. We need to get back on the path. I want to continue that kind of thinking this morning. And we'll start in Romans chapter 12. I don't plan to stay there very long, but Romans chapter 12, where Paul exhorts us about being a living sacrifice. And for the Lord to bless us for a little while, I want to talk about what that looks like. Sometimes we talk about these concepts and we speak the words and we hear it, and it just kind of goes right over our head, and we don't really dig into just what does that look like? What will that involve? How will that act? What kind of activities would I need to be engaged in to be a living sacrifice? Maybe you found Romans 12 by now. Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your, reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Is that a suggestion? I think you've already heard that. It's not a suggestion. As a matter of fact, if we're going to be a disciple of Jesus, and if others are going to see Jesus in us, it needs to be our life. They need to see Jesus in us so that we can rightfully claim to be a disciple of Jesus, because our life is what he has prescribed for us. You know, Brother Kenneth talked about teaching Kendra. She might be a little young, you know, for that kind of teaching, but listen, the Bible, especially in Deuteronomy, when we find that the scriptures speak about how that what parents ought to be doing, and here's the pattern now, what parents ought to be doing, so when your children ask, I'm going to pick on Kendra and Kenneth since they're here and he already brought it up, but it could apply to whoever. What if Kendra grows up seeing her daddy read his Bible every day? Someday she might just say, well, Daddy, why are you always reading that book? This book is a lot more exciting. There's an opportunity to teach, because it's already having been taught every day. It's not just words, it's life. That applies to mamas as well. We need to be a living sacrifice. Think about the Old Testament. What if the Lord told us we need to be that kind of sacrifice? Well, then you'd be dragged to an altar, you'd be killed, prepared, and laid upon an altar, and burnt. If that's what you were called to be, in the Old Testament, then that's what would happen. How much glory could you bring to God in that? You would be brought to an end. And beyond that, you would be no glory to God. I like the New Testament better. He's called us to be a living sacrifice. Now, there's something about life that needs to end. If he's called us by his grace, then something needs to come to an end. Right? That old man needs to be put away. All right? So when we think about it's not an end of your life to be a New Testament sacrifice, a living sacrifice. It's not an end to your life, but it ought to be that we die to putting our will above God's will. That should come to an end. Now that's the struggle that we have every day, isn't it? That's the warfare that we have every day. But he has called us to be a living sacrifice. And we've kind of lightheartedly said in the past, you know, the problem with a living sacrifice is that we keep crawling off the altar. But if we're going to stay and continue and be a good example for others of a living sacrifice, there's some activities that we need to pay attention to and incorporate and make it a habit in our life. Because we're to come out from the world and be separate. We're not to look like the world. We're not to smell like the world. We're not to sound like the world. You know, there was a time when the children of Israel came back from captivity, and the children didn't even speak in the language of the Jews. They spoke in the particulars of it, but they spoke some other language. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. Serving God ought to be evident in what we do. We have to make our way. We have our jobs. We have our responsibilities. We have to prepare ourselves for jobs. We have to do all those kinds of things, but we ought to do it as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is so needful in our culture, isn't it? Because so many other influences are taking over. They're trying everything they can to snuff out Christianity and Christian principles in this culture. They're trying everything they can to take it away from us. Are we going to just lay down and let them have it? Well, a lot of people, evidently a lot of people are. And I'm not trying to get political here, but I'm telling you what's real. I'm telling you what we're facing, and it's high time for God's people to start acting like and sounding like God's people. Because of what we believe, what we're standing for in everyday life. He deserves. All that God has done for us, he deserves our heart's affection. And when Paul is talking about be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I want you to think about something. I'm going to call that the heart of your mind. Because when we talk about the heart, spiritually, we're not talking about this organ that pumps blood. We're talking about the seat of your affections. The seat of your desires, where that business is transacted. And a lot of it is right here, isn't it? In the heart of your mind. So what did Paul say? Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of that. And this word is a big part of that. Whether it's in preaching, whether it's in reading, whether you're listening to some podcast or whatever whatever form that you receive the word in, we have multiple ways that we can receive good teaching every day if you don't want to take the time to sit down and read the word. There's no excuse for not having some content of the word of God in our daily life. There is no excuse. And if you think you've got one, let me know. I think we can help that. Right? No excuse. Because our will is above, in our heart, in the mind of our heart, in the heart of our mind, our will is above our desire to do the will of God. That's why Christianity is not as evident in our culture, is not having the influence in our culture, because too many are serving their own will instead of the will of God. We're not manifesting, and we are truly not a living sacrifice. Now, I need this as much as you do. Don't think I'm standing here on a high platform looking down and saying, you got to do better. We got to do better. We have to. Okay? All right, so last couple of weeks, Brother Kenneth talked about the need for being at church. Sometimes we try to continue a theme. Sometimes we try to continue building upon something we've talked about before. And if you're here now and then, you miss the continuity of it. And we've been talking about serving God. The God who doesn't need anything. How do you serve God who doesn't need anything? We serve one another. Jesus said, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye've done it unto me. You want to serve God? Then serve somebody that can't serve you back. Do something for somebody that can't do it back. That's how you truly serve somebody. If we serve somebody because they can return the favor, you're not serving. You're just scratching somebody's back. Serving the God who doesn't need anything, but it pleases him. When we serve one another in a loving way, desiring to do the will of God, to be a blessing to someone else, to show God's love to someone else, because God's been so good to us and has blessed us in so many ways, then you're serving God. And that's pleasing to him. And he receives such service. And so, the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about serving God, and we used for our basis there the parable of the sower and the seed and the heart. You know, the seed represents the word of God, and the soils, the different kinds of soils, represents the conditions of your heart. Let's make it personal. Your heart. How's the condition of your heart? Is it hard and stony and the seed just bounces off? Has the birds are the birds snatching the word away as soon as you hear it? Things in the world keeping your attention more than the word of God? You know, well, is it received into shallow ground and the persecution, or we have to, if we are viewed as being Christian and if we're viewed as being someone that believes these principles and we're challenged on it, or we're in an environment where others don't believe that, are we just going to shy away or shirk away from it and shrivel up because of the heat of persecution? Or we got so much of the world that's there that the seed can't really bring any fruit to perfection? Or is it good ground? Does that seed fall on the good ground of the heart of your mind. So that that heart that's been prepared, had some weeds pulled out of it, that heart that's able to receive the word, and that word can get down in there and take root and grow and bring forth much fruit to the glory of God. What's the condition of your heart right now, since you're sitting under the sound of the word? What's the condition? All right? Those receiving the word, Luke's account of it said, those that received the word in a good and honest heart. A heart prepared. A heart reminded how much we need instruction from the Lord. A heart reminded of how short we come and how merciful and loving God is. That kind of heart receives the word and brings forth fruit to perfection. Fruit that's pleasing to the Lord. They're the ones that's serving with gladness. They're the ones who are a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. One that's put their will beneath their desire to serve the will of God. Now, that doesn't mean that we only are all the time totally committed to doing those things that we're talking about here and never, you know, attending to the affairs of life. Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." You can go about doing those things in the better way when you put God first, when you desire his will to be done above ours. Then we can do the other things with a better frame of mind, with more service in our heart, with more love to God and more thanksgiving. When we do it in the right way. As a living sacrifice. So, I got a few minutes left. What does that look like? Well, if you've been listening, you've heard a lot of it already. What does that look like? What kind of activities transform this heart of your mind? These affections, these desires, so that we desire to do God's will. And we seek to do that first so that all these other things will be added to us. Okay? Well, first of all, we know that God has to change the heart, doesn't he? Man by nature doesn't have a desire to seek God. But if 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. God does that, right? Or how about 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30? He says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus. Of him. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. In other words, everything we have is a blessing from the Lord. Thank him for it and live like it. Everything we have, everything we hope to have, is a blessing from the Lord. I'm talking about spiritual. I'm talking about whatever's good, whatever's profitable in life. It's from the Lord. Now we can when we serve him, he's pleased. You know, when we talk about Christian service, and how that God doesn't need anything. And we've touched on this in the last couple of weeks, but since God doesn't need anything, that our service really, most of our opportunity to serve is serving one another. I realize that prayer and our giving and that kind of, those kind of things are worship, and in a sense, that's serving God. But for doing something in the way of service, when we serve one another, that's pleasing to the Lord. All right? But you see, that's where the energy is expended. That's where our emotions are taxed at times. That's where it takes effort and energy and love and sometimes resources to be a help to others. And that's the part that can be taxing. But if it's done right, if it's done with the right motive and it's done for the glory of God, God helps us. He supplies grace and helps us in the right kind of service. You see, and that's why oftentimes it's a labor of love, but there's also rest while you labor. When you feel like the Lord's in it, when the Lord is blessing it, it can be rest while you labor. He gives us grace. If you're yoked up with Him, He's pulling a whole lot harder than you are. Because His yoke is easy. You see, if we're having to pull harder than He is, that yoke's not easy. But He says His yoke is easy and His burden is light because He's the one that's supplying the power and the strength and the grace to get it done. So serving the Lord can be with gladness because He helps us do His will. All right? Now, so what does that look like? What kind of activities? This is not a complete list, obviously. May not, some might think it's not even a good list. I mean, but I want to give some things. I've got about six things. Maybe I can touch on them at least. And one more that just kind of sums things up on what it looks like to be a living sacrifice. Now, you know these things, but I tried to just kind of present them to stir your mind, stir your heart, that we can be reminded of some of the things the Lord tells us that we need to be doing. All right? And the first thing I want to talk about is remember how much God loves us. If you'll dwell on the love of God on our daily basis, now I don't mean all day long, if you want to, go ahead, but I'm talking about remind yourself of the love that God has for us, that it took the love that it took for Him to do for us what we could not do when we were enemies in our own minds by wicked works, yet God sent His Son to this world. He reached down where we were. He didn't wait for us to come to us because by nature we never would. He came to us and He said, live. Just like in Ezekiel when He came to that one cast out in the field, live. It's by the grace of God that we even know Him. And if we love Him, it's because He first loved us. So you remind yourself of that. You think about the love of God on a regular basis. I tell you, 1 John 3 says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. All right? Keep in mind, second, number two, keep in mind that regular conflict. We touched on that a moment ago. It's going to be a conflict. Don't buy into the lie that Satan gives you that if you were serving God, life wouldn't be this way. No, as a matter of fact, the more you try to serve God, the more you're going to see Satan nipping at your heels. He's going to be telling you his lies. He's going to be trying to draw you away from that because he hates it when somebody's faithful to God. All right? So remind yourself, it's going to be conflict in this world. We've got this old sin nature about us. The world is, we live in a fallen world. Satan is always on the prowl. And he's after those who trying to do their best to serve the Lord. Paul told us about that in Romans chapter 7. The good that I would, I do not. That which I would not, that I do. Now, Paul wasn't some psycho. Paul was certainly born of the Spirit and a faithful servant of the Lord, and yet he still had that struggle, and that's there to encourage us that we're also going to have that struggle. It's just a part of life for the child of God. And so we have to sacrifice our will. Sometimes we need to sacrifice some of our time. Maybe sometimes we have to sacrifice some of our resources to be a help to others. But if you're doing it the right way, if you're doing it for the right motives, if you're doing it in love, God will help you. And I don't believe there's ever been a penny that anybody has used of their own resources for the glory of God that he didn't repay tenfold. He is gracious. He blesses and blesses and blesses. He daily loadeth us with benefits. I think I heard that somewhere. Right? All right. So remember, there's going to be a struggle. There's going to be a conflict. You know, Paul touched on that in the book of Galatians as well. So remember, there's going to be a conflict. You know, and we're in good company, by the way. I already mentioned the Apostle Paul. Remember Abraham, when God had told him what he was going to do to Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, that's a good thing to remember for us in our culture today, what God did to Sodom and Gomorrah, those sins that were so rampant. He wasn't just overlooking that stuff. No, he eventually judged it. All right? But when Abraham began to ask and plead, mainly on behalf of Lot and his family, Abraham acknowledged that, Lord, I'm just dust and ashes. You know, we need to remember that. We're made out of dust. He knows our frame. He knows what we are. He knows we need his help. And he's pleased for us to ask for it. So there's a conflict. We're not able. Oh, we think we're, you know, if you keep right reading there in Romans 12, he talked about how that not to think too more highly of yourself than you ought to. But we do, don't we? I'm guilty. I suspect you've had episodes of that yourself. All right? So there's a conflict there. Oh, but there's blessings there when we're faithful to the Lord. Which is the third thing, being faithful. Faith honors God. God honors faith. Well, someone said one time, God honors faith because faith honors God. Where's our faith? Are we putting our confidence and are we leaning to our own understanding? Proverbs 3 says, don't do that. But we do. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And what? Is there any benefit to that? And he shall, I like those shalls, don't you? He shall direct thy path. Oh, I need that. That's better than a GPS. For the Lord to direct our path, I need that. Every one of us needs that. So we need to remember to walk by faith. In Habakkuk, the just shall live by his faith, Habakkuk said. Then Paul says in Romans chapter 1, for the just, for it's written, the just shall live by faith. And then we also find it in Galatians 3, the just shall live by faith. And in Hebrews, we find Hebrews chapter 10, for the just shall live by faith. I think I see a pattern here. I think I see something spread throughout the scriptures that reminds us that we're to live by faith. If we're going to be a living sacrifice, then we need to be living by faith. The Lord's the one who's able. I'm not. The Lord's the one who's wise. I'm oftentimes not. Unless I'm remembering his word, right? The Lord's the one who can help me and protect me and provide for me. And someday, my hope is that someday he's going to take me home to be with him forever. I want to walk by faith. I want to trust him. I want to look to him and his word to tell me how to live my life. So oftentimes we hear the statement in the world today, nobody's going to tell me how to live. I'm my own person. That's directly contrary to the word of God. That is absolute rebellion. That is pride. The pride of man. And we all deal with it. Walking by faith. Trusting in the Lord. Seeking his will. All right? All the while, we need to be thankful. If you want to distinguish, I've said this oftentimes, if you want to distinguish yourself as a Christian, then be very thankful for everything. For whatever the Lord gives. He's the one that knows what we need. If we need a trial, he gives it. We hate it. But he knows what we need. Maybe we need to grow. Maybe we need to be reminded. There was a time when a man was throwing stones at David. Yeah. While he was kicking up dust, throwing stones, and cursing at David. David's captain wanted to cut off the man's head. Get him out of the way. Why in the world is he talking to you like that? You're the king. I'm summarizing David's response. He said, well, maybe he's doing the Lord's will. Maybe I need to be reminded. Maybe I'm on too high of a horse. Maybe I need to be reminded. Maybe I need to be brought down a notch. Be thankful to God. And at the same time, the next thing, be humble. I don't know of anything that characterizes a Christian better than humility. Because humility, let me say it this way. Obedience is humility. Placing God's will above yours. Humbling yourself, submitting yourself to the will and the word of God is humility. And it's obedience to his will. And oftentimes we're serving our own will. Oftentimes we want to go our own way. Be humble. Micah 6 and 8. Don't you love that passage? He has showed thee, O man, what is good. What doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. The Lord told Abraham, walk before me and be thou perfect. Well, we all walk before the Lord because he sees everything. He knows everything. He's not limited to our words. He's not limited to trying to figure out if our actions are proving anything or not. He looks upon the heart. We all walk before the Lord. We're all an open book before the Lord. As a matter of fact, if you have any hesitation about confessing your sins, don't worry about it. He already knows. That exercise is for you, not the Lord. It humbles us. It reminds us of what we really are instead of what we think we are. Right? Humility. So needful. We are so quick to... That flesh is so quick to rear its ugly head. Come out of our mouth, our actions. That flesh can do that so quickly. Walk humbly with thy God. If we're not humble, we're not with the Lord. He's afar off if we're proud. When Solomon told us there are six things that the Lord hates, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. You know what the first one was? Proud look. Ooh, God hates pride. Because it rears against God. And pride, and maybe I need to preach on that sometimes, pride shows up in a lot of places you don't think. But anytime our will trumps God's will, you're in trouble. Because you're thinking too highly of yourself than you ought to. Okay? All right. Humility. Brother Kenneth told us about the importance of the Word of God. If nothing else, remember Psalm 119:11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. If you don't know the Word of God, you don't know whether you're sinning or not. Now, that's not exactly right. Because he's given us his Spirit. And his Spirit convicts us when we're not walking or listening or talking according to truth. But a lot of folks are not listening to that Spirit. A lot of folks are not following that Spirit. A lot of folks are not seeking to feel that Spirit like they should. Some folks has hardened their heart. Their ears are dull of hearing. They honor the Lord with their mouth and their hearts far from him. You know, all those kinds of things are told us in this word to teach us and instruct us how we should go. We need it. We need it more than we realize. By the way, well, no, I need to go on. Get it another time. As we learn and as we grow in the Word, and by the way, another thought connected to the Word, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. So we need to be reading the Word. We need to be hearing preaching. And by the way, preaching needs to be the Word of God. That's one of my pet peeves. I don't want to listen to a sermon for a half an hour and I haven't heard a verse of Scripture yet. Experience is fine. If you want to take some time after church to talk about experiences, that's wonderful. God's people need to talk about what the Lord's done. But this time is for the Word of God. Paul told Timothy, preach the Word. Preach the Word. The Apostle Paul, later on in his ministry, admonished the brethren at Ephesus, feed the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. Feed the flock on the Word. Acts 20 and 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter talks about that also. If we're going to feed the flock, they need to be fed on the Word of God. That's what's profitable. All right, the Word. So as we grow then in the Word, the sixth thing, if you're counting, the sixth thing is to take what we've learned and put it into practice. I need to do a search sometimes, a study, to find out how many times the Word of God reminds us it's not just the hearer, like James tells us, not to be hearers only, but doers of the work. If all we're doing is just hearing it and not doing it, we're not letting our light shine. We're not bearing the fruit to the glory of God. We're not the kind of witness we should be. We're not the living sacrifice that we should be. Jesus, one time when they said your mother and brethren are without desiring to see thee, he said, who is my mother? Who is my brethren? He knew that. But it was for their benefit. And he said, it's they that hear the word of God and do it. That's my mother. That's my brethren. That hear it and do it. Brethren, if you don't get anything else out of this today, remember the hearing and doing part. Because that's where the light comes forth. That's when we have an impact, a salt. All right? So what we know, let's put it into practice. Paul, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, talks about exercise thyself rather unto godliness. He warned him about genealogies and fables and those kinds of things. He said, but exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. There's a blessing now, and it seals and concretes our hope of what we have awaiting us. You know, what we have awaiting us, is it can't be any better. You're not adding any stars to your crown that you're going to be wearing in glory. Heaven cannot be any better. But your enjoyment and your anticipation of it right now can be a whole lot better the more you do the will of God. The more you're serving one another. The more you're growing in grace and in the knowledge. And that's how Peter ended up his second epistle, isn't it? But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's untold blessings in doing that. Growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, number 7. By grace, we're blessed to know Him. By grace, we love Him. Because He loved us first. You didn't deserve it. That's why it's grace, right?
Right.
And by grace, through faith, which He gave us. He doesn't do the good works for us, but He sure does enable us by grace, through faith, continue to be a living sacrifice. Remember that. Hebrews 13. I'm going to close out with this. We started in Romans 12, how he says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. There's an acceptable way that we're to enter into serving the Lord. He said it's your reasonable service, a living sacrifice. Hebrews 13. In the interest of time, verse 13. Hebrews 13:13. Let us go therefore unto Him without the camp, bearing His reproach. In the world, it's not a popular thing to serve God. Do it anyway. Who really loves you? Who's done so much for you? Who's keeping you each day? Who's providing for you all the very breath that you breathe? Who's going to help you when you're down? If you lost everything, if a hurricane blew through here and just took everything we had, who's going to really help you? You're going to wait around a long time for the government to do some things. God is our helper in all things. All right, so bearing His reproach, being willing to do that. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice. Here's some New Testament sacrifices. Here's some ways that we can be that living sacrifice. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Why is that a sacrifice? Because you've got to put His will above yours. Because if you're going to worship God, then you need to be setting His will and His praise and His glory above your own desires. If any man will come after me, let him do what? Deny himself. self. If you don't do that, you never come to him. You never worship him. If you're not denying yourself, you'll never approach him like you should and receive the blessings that you could. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God on Saturdays and Mondays. Is that what it says? Early in the morning. Well, that works. But he says continually. Continually. You know what that means? To keep him in the forefront of our mind. To always think of how we walk before him, and we want to walk with him, and we want to walk to his glory. Continually. Continually remember what he's done for us and what a privilege it is that we get to praise his holy name. Let's offer the sacrifice of praise of God continually. That is the fruit of our lips. Well, if it's going to be fruit of your lips, it's got to be more than a thought. It's got to come out. Okay? You say, well, that's duh. Well, stop and think about it. He calls these sacrifices the fruit of our lips. Let's tell somebody how good God is. Let's thank him. Moving our lips, let's thank him for the blessings that are ours. Don't just keep it in. When you keep it in, it's like hiding your light under a bushel. And the Lord said, don't do that. It needs to be seen. This culture needs to see how many Christians there really are in this country. And if you're one of them, then it's on you. Do it. Right? All right? Not somebody else, not your neighbor, you. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. You see, when he talks about us being a living sacrifice, he's given us plenty to do. May God help us to remember and read this word and learn more about what that is, and then go do it. Out of love for him, out of thanksgiving to him, for his praise, for his glory, and you will be blessed. May God help us to be a living sacrifice. May God bless you is our prayer.